Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
People sometimes say that out of a crisis comes opportunity. Well, the United States certainly proved that when a new age of science and technology emerged from the dark days of World War II. And from that, there are lessons to draw on as we emerge from this pandemic. Derek Thompson joins us now. He's a staff writer at The Atlantic, and he's been writing about this. Derek, welcome back.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Sure. The central question here is, what makes a crisis so fertile for innovation?
Yeah, I think this is a great question, and you really see it over and over again. World War II bequeathed all sorts of technologies, not just military technology, but also early computing technology and medical technology. Obviously, Sputnik and the fear of the Soviet Union inspired the U.S. not only to go to the moon, but also create something called ARPA or DARPA, which was a government-funded agency that came up with essentially the bare bones of the internet. And just over and over again, you see it all the way up to the pandemic, which clearly inspired a host of new vaccine therapies based on mRNA technology. So I do think it is fair to say that certainly over the last 100 years, crisis has been an incredible impetus for technological acceleration.
You write about a new paper from Duke and Columbia that in part explains how exactly World War II led to some of the big breakthroughs we've seen in science and technology. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, this is a story I had never heard of before, and I felt kind of embarrassed coming across this paper and realizing how important this story was, considering I had never heard of it. So in 1940, on June 14th, 1940, the same day the German army occupied Paris, this group of scientists and techies marched to the White House, and they told President FDR that U.S. technology was not where it needed to be to win World War II. So in response, Roosevelt assembled the kind of dream team of scientists and techies that were united under this agency called the Office of Scientific Research and Development, or OSRD. And this organization, this agency, over the next 4 years would create all sorts of military technologies, the proximity fuse, radar, sonar. One of its programs spun off to become the Manhattan Project, which obviously gave us the atomic bomb. But its breakthroughs went far beyond that. It supported the first mass production of penicillin ever. It invested in microwave communications. It built the foundations of the early computer. All of this was housed at this agency, OSRD, which in many ways was this kind of Avengers team of techies that helped the U.S. win World War II and set us up for the technological advances and the innovation system of the next 50 years.
It was dissolved not long after the war in 1947, which is surprising because you're saying it had such an impact on scientific legacies here in the United States. But if you were to fast forward 80 years to 2020, how does the U.S. government's response to the pandemic compare to what you say it did in this post-war era?
Well, in many ways, our response to the pandemic pales in comparison with what we did in World War II. Obviously, Operation Warp Speed was very successful at accelerating the production of vaccines. But outside of Operation Warp Speed, there was very little that was managed top down by the federal government. In fact, as opposed to, you know, in the 1940s, when we all agreed on what the nemesis was and the need to defeat the Nazis and to win World War II, there was no such similar agreement as to what the novel coronavirus was, what we should do to defeat it, or even if it was that serious in the first place. So I think there was a there was a real lack of focus in Washington, D.C. In 2020 compared to 1940. That's probably the biggest difference over those 80 years.
Well, what could have been done better? Because I am thinking about those vaccines you mentioned. The fact that Moderna and Pfizer turned their products around so quickly is a feat of science. There's no doubt about that.
No doubt about it. And it's an extraordinary thing what Pfizer and Moderna did and BioNTech, the organization, the German company that Pfizer partnered with. But my question is, why couldn't we have done that for things outside of vaccines? We needed better antiviral drugs. Where was the Operation Warp Speed for antiviral drugs? We needed more mass testing and even contact tracing to help keep the economy open and figure out who was sick and who wasn't. Where was the Operation Warp Speed for testing and contact tracing? There were so many aspects, I think, of this crisis beyond beyond the silver bullet, so to speak, of the vaccines, that we could have accelerated the same way that we accelerated across the board on technologies in World War II. Again, it wasn't just the military stuff. It wasn't just the bombs and the missiles. We accelerated on antibiotics. We accelerated on early computing. There really was this sense top down that was structured under OSRD that said, we are going to invent the tools of the future that can help the U.S. win this war as soon as possible. I don't think that we did exactly that in 2020 to fight the war against COVID-19.
And just briefly, where should we go from here then so that we don't miss this opportunity another time?
I think you can think very briefly, you can think of science as having sort of three stages. There's basic research, that's like university labs. There's commercial development, that's like, you know, Apple making an iPhone. And there's a middle stage, applied research. Right now, I think the middle stage is a valley of death. We need to fill in that valley the same way that OSRD filled in the valley of death. We need to invest more in applied research and connect basic science to products, just like we did with the vaccines. We need to do that for other technologies so we can get the basic bench research out into the market faster.
Derek Thompson is a staff writer at The Atlantic. Thanks as always.
Thank you.